Father God, that is our prayer today, is that your presence truly would be the epitome of what our fulfillment and our life is about, God. Just to live in your presence, desiring you more than anything else in this world, living to put a smile on your face and your glory just seen through our lives, God. So help us to walk in your spirit. Help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and love others as you've taught us to, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before you have a seat, why don't you welcome somebody this morning, and we'll say Happy Mother's Day to you all. The elementary kids can head on into the gym. All right. Well, we had a great week down in the Outer Banks this past week, but it is great to be back. This was the first vacation since we've had Donna or Zachary that truly was like a relaxing vacation. I think the Lord has heard a lot of your prayers. This last, I'd say, 6 weeks, maybe month, 2 months, we've just seen God really bring an understanding to him that part of his delays, he's overcoming those, and I believe that's all a testament to your prayers and God just healing when kids born with substance abuse, what they go through. So thank you so much for that, which really, I mean, you just forget how relaxing vacations can be when there's no time bombs going off and all that stuff. So we had a great time. I got back early yesterday morning. We drove separate because of some scheduling things or whatever. So I got back with a couple of kids yesterday morning. Jen got back yesterday afternoon. And last night I went outside because I thought the rain was coming. And I went on my porch and I saw all this, you know, I thought it was rain in the air. And I was like, finally. And I realized it was just the wind stirring up the pollen. And so I don't deal with allergies that much, but I couldn't open my eyes at one point. So I'm done. But thank God for the rain. Amen. Amen. All right. So turn to Matthew. Where are we at? Matthew chapter 20. I'm sorry, Mark. Let's start in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. And I can honestly say I've never done a specific Mother's Day message for a church. We've done some Mother's Day events and stuff like that, but I've never done a Mother's Day message. And what is ironic is, and this is how horrible I am with like special occasions and special days. When we started the church in Annapolis 10 years ago, what we did was what's called a parachute drop. You just move to the area and just, you don't know anybody, and just start doing whatever you can to get people to come together. And so we would do door hangers and stuff like that. And we had done a number of church services, inviting people to church service. Nobody showed up for at the hotel right across the street from the Annapolis Mall, now the Crown Plaza, I believe it was a Sheraton 10 years ago. Nobody shows up for them. And we did this one event where we did these door hangers with Twizzlers hot glued to them. The dumbest marketing thing you've ever seen, but it worked. The best guerrilla marketing that actually has worked. It was the dumbest, but it worked. We had 39 people from Annapolis show up at that service the day after we did these door hangers. A lot of them walked in with these dumb door hangers with the Twizzlers. I'd be like, oh, you can eat that, you know? And so then we did a service a month for the next 4 months. And then we thought, well, this is going so well. I had whittled down that 39 original people, that first one, to about 25 by the fourth service. But I thought, this is going so well. Let's start meeting weekly. So this is where we're still living in my parents' attic over in Denton. And I convinced Jen we've got enough money where we can either, you know, rent a place ourselves over in Annapolis, or we can put that money to renting a building to invite people. So we decided to rent the movie theater over there, and we decided to start meeting weekly on Mother's Day, which is not a good day for anything besides just celebrating moms, is what I found out. And so and my whole goal today is to get you out of here as soon as you can so you can go to brunch and have fun with mom, all right? So that'll be my gift to you, great moms. But that out of that 25 that came, only five adults and two kids were there. And my message that day, and I don't remember most, I can't remember what I preached 2 weeks ago. I remember that message that day was about five, what God can do with five loaves and two fish. And there were five adults and two kids. Maddie and Kane were the only two kids I had at the time. And that still rings true to me today, of what God can do when we just offer whatever we have. And it's a beautiful thing. So Mother's Day for me, as far as a church history and our church history is concerned, is a special day. But I've never done a specific Mother's Day message. And so this past week, I was thinking about this Mother's Day message I had prepared, and I thought, well, this is so typical. And the message was ways to pray for your kids. And I thought, that's exactly what we do when we think about women, right? We always put the weight of things on them, right? And so even my message, I was going to give you 5 ways for you moms to be praying for your kids or grandmas to be praying for your grandkids or whatever. And then I thought, you know what? Let's be contrarian, which is what we are here at Centerpoint. And so instead I thought, I've never heard a message, or I've never heard one where we talked about how to pray for mom, right? Instead of putting the weight on you moms, like here's how you need to be a better mom, pray better. How about we honor moms a little bit, and we teach you people how to pray for your moms, right? So some of you middle schoolers and high schoolers and young adults, if you're 50 and your mom, you're still blessed to have your mom around, then this is a message for you. So we're going to take the weight off of you moms today just to get you to be a little bit better. And I just want to encourage some of you, here's some ways for you to pray for your mom. Now, here's what I found out my problem this past week was. And I'm actually we're gonna outsource this problem to you right now, because I'm gonna quit preaching, okay? And we're just gonna do a little Sunday school class, all right? Because I actually want to know this. If anybody knows this, all right? Because I looked and spent a lot of time trying to find this. Does anybody know any place in the Bible that is an example of praying for your mom? Does anybody? I'll give you a second to think about it. I'll just keep on talking about nothing for a second as you sit there and think. Get the wheels spinning, okay? If you have a Bible or a story, anything like that in the Bible where you can think, this person, they prayed for their mom. Now, some of y'all are former Catholics or still got one foot in the Catholic door. I know you pray to Mother Mary, all right? That's not in the Bible either, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you see somebody pray for their mom, or even a proverb that talks about, here's how to pray for mom. Does anybody have any, you think of anything? Jesus is always the right answer, but that doesn't count here, okay? All right, well done. I searched the internet. I couldn't find one place in the Bible where you see somebody praying for mom. Now, you see many occasions where you see moms carrying their sick kids miles to Jesus and getting them healed and begging Jesus, will you do this, right? You see dads being prayed over. You see sons honoring their fathers and praying. You see fathers praying for their sons. I couldn't find one place in the Bible where mothers are honored through prayer. And so, which is kind of telling, not that God got it wrong or anything, but made my message a little bit harder to pull together. This is where we're at in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. And we have the words on the screen if you have your Bible. This is the only, like one of the only mom stories where mom is, helped, I guess. Matthew chapter 8 verses 14. What's interesting about this is before we see what's about to happen, what happens before this is Jesus is healing people and doing amazing miracles. He is in northern Israel, and next November, if you want to go to see this with me, for the low cost of $3,000, you're welcome to, in Capernaum. That's where Jesus staked out His 3 years of public ministry from 30 to 33 when he died. He, most of his ministry was done outside of Capernaum, this beautiful town, literally on the Sea of Galilee. And he lived out of Peter's mother-in-law's house. And so this is where, but before this event happens, Jesus and the disciples are out healing people. All through these, they had 10 villages, 10 little towns all around the Sea of Galilee. That's where Jesus did his ministry. When you ever see Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee, it was just a shortcut. Instead of walking around the lake, the Sea of Galilee is like a big lake. Just instead of walking around it, he just kind of go across to get to this town. So you see Jesus healing people, doing these amazing things before this event we're about to read. And then it does the same thing after, healing and all these crazy. Here's what happens when we see this one story about Peter's mother-in-law. Matthew chapter 8 verse 14 says, and when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And then look what a good mother-in-law does. And she rose and began to serve him. Happy Mother's Day. You're on your deathbed. We need some food. get healed so you can go make us something, right? That's how I interpret this, right? But you read this and you thought, Jesus is literally healing, right? This is how ministry works, by the way. Like, we save the whole world except our own family, right? Doesn't even say Peter came to him and was like, hey, Jesus, I know you had a busy day. You healed, like, the whole town. My mother-in-law, though, she's on her deathbed or she's really sick. Could you mind just helping me out a little bit? We don't even see Peter asking. We see Jesus basically like, look, this would be ridiculous. We just healed everybody. We're going to heal people. Demon, they're going to cast out demons out of our house, of people coming with demon possessed later that night. And why don't we can't even take care of your own mother-in-law? Let's take care of that. And this is a glaring picture to me of what the role of mothers and really women, how they get looked at and so easy to take for granted. It's a conviction for me of how often I've taken my mom or my wife for granted and who they are, and I just look at them as what they do or what they provide, or if I need this, I need them at their best. My mother-in-law's in town for the next month, you know, so I'm going to keep her happy because, look, I need her to clean the house a little bit, help me out a little bit, you know, so I'll buy her some a nice Panera lunch or something every now and then, you know, just to keep her healthy, right? So here's three ways I want you to encourage you to pray for your moms, okay? And I do want to say this. For those of you, I don't want to make light of this. For those of you whose mothers have passed on, I feel for you today. We our hearts go out to you today, and we don't take that for granted as well. And that's a reminder to us to cherish every moment we have with our minds. The first one is this, is remember your moms quickly lose their own identity. Can I get an amen from the moms out there? Man, when you're a mom, and I probably should have had a woman preach this, but I don't know. That's why you pay me, right? And moms lose their own identity, you know? They quickly go from being a daughter of God, which is your primary identity, to your wife, and then you kind of have to follow your husband. You don't have to. I'm just saying how this works. You know, we all know how it works, right? You follow your husband's, you know, career around, you move where he wants to move. You know, Jen, the last 15 years of our marriage, we married 15 years next month, everything has been about where's God leading Donnie, right? We didn't move to Annapolis or Northern Virginia first because Jen had some passionate desire to be stuck in traffic everywhere she went for, you know, the first six years of our marriage, right? Five years of our marriage, you know, and then Annapolis, she's from Illinois. She didn't know anything about Annapolis, you know? And so everything for me is, for us has been, God's moving Donnie and this or whatever, you know, and so her identity quickly is about Donnie, right? And then we have kids and you know, and you as a lot of experience this, you know, then it's all about what the kids need in this moment. And there's a verse where Jesus in Matthew, this is Matthew after, chapter 23 passage, where Jesus gives us a little picture that he understands the heart and mind of a mother. This is Jesus as he's going into Jerusalem and presenting himself to the king. They reject him. This is where Jesus gives us a little glimpse of his heart for humanity and how he understands how a woman and a mom particularly think. He says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones, those who are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus said, I wish that I could protect you like a mother hen would protect her kids and just takes whatever comes to them, loses herself and whatever danger comes their way. I wish I could do that for you. Now, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that our God is a male or female figure, but if you're a female, you come out of the nature of who God is. Your identity is tied to God as much as any male's is. So we're not trying to change God today. We're just trying to change your identity. You understand the value of your identity, that God designed you to care, and God designed you to be concerned with this world. And what often happens, though, is you lose track and you lose sight that before you were a mom, before you were a wife, you were a daughter of God, and you are still that, and you will always be that, no matter when, if the kids move out, no matter if the marriage ends, you will always be a daughter of God. You were that first, and you'll be that to the day you die. Don't lose your identity in the seasons of life. And for those of you, for all of us who have a mom still present on this earth, we need to be praying for them. We need to be reminding ourselves that they're humans too. They're not just here to cater to every need we have and drive us here and just be a listening ear for us. Their job's not just to pray for us. It's our privilege and honor to be praying for our moms. You know, anybody else didn't realize your mom was like a real person until you were like a teenager? Anybody else? Raise your hand because I don't feel like the biggest jerk in here. I remember the first time I realized my mom was a real like person. I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I don't know how, you know, like about, I, like the, she got married without actually feeling affection and liking boys, or I just assumed like my dad was the only guy she may have ever liked. And but the first time I realized my mom was like a real person was, I was probably kind of an older teenager. I found out my mom had been a missionary to Africa. My mom was a nurse, and right out of nursing school, she went through the Southern Baptist. She was a nurse to Africa for 2 years to Ghana. And I thought to myself, Mom, like you? You know, and I found out she had dated some guys in between her and mine. I'm like, what? You can't do that. You're my mom, you know? And because that's the only identity you're allowed to have is just take care of whatever needs I have, you know? And you, those of you who are moms and those of you who are praying for your moms, pray and be reminding yourself they have their identity, that they care about things, they love things, they have hobbies, they have affections, they have hurts, and it's not all about us. So pray for them, pray for that through all the seasons of life that they remember their identity. Help them remember that today on Mother's Day. Pray for the transitions that moms have in life. Man, women go through so many transitions, and again, you're always on the back burner of those transitions, right? Or you're on the back, you put yourself on the back burner for others through those transitions. Some of you moms, not to make anybody cry today, but in the next month, you're going to go from a transition of having a senior in high school, right, to they're graduating in 2 weeks from Kent Island, and things are going to change, right? Thank God Mary Alwalt's not here, because she'd be bawling right now, you know, And then you know, when the kids move out of the house, there's books. I can make money writing a book on these trends that people have, you know, and how to navigate these transitions in life. And you go from not having kids to having kids. You know, you go from being a mom to being grandma. All those things. And in those transitions, we just assume you're fine. Everything's fine. My own mother-in-law last year moved. You know, she's got five kids. She's got four daughters and a son. And they're all, you know, all of us are married, and to think, you know, it's crazy to think, like, she's got, her son is in Mississippi, her one daughter is in Indiana, Jen's out here, and two of her, you know, daughters are out here, and her other daughter's still in Illinois. And then last year, she moved herself down to Mississippi, and her and my father-in-law, and for all of her whole life, for 60-some years, she's had this circle of friends there in Rockford, Illinois, you know, and they go to the same, her women's group has been, for like 25 years, been meeting at the same Culver's restaurant. Anybody know Culver's? We're missing out if you don't know. And so, but you think about that, it's like, oh, they moved to Mississippi, that's nice. And you don't think, like she just left 65 years of security. Everything she knew, everything she felt, you know, her relationships, her friendships, you know, and oh, that's nice, she gets to be with her son-in-law, you know, or her son or whatever, and we don't think about these transitions in life and the effect they're having. Pray for your mom today through the transitions that they're going through in life. Some of you husbands who, you know, you're married to the mom of your kids, you think about them and pray for them through the transitions that they have with the kids. And then the third prayer I want you to pray about, I have the word contentment. I'm going to change that because I feel like that's burdensome, okay? I'm going to be a liberal preacher here today, all right? I'm going to change the word to rest. Pray that your mom just rests, that enjoys life. Because you know the greatest attack on women and moms in particular is comparison. I don't want to say jealousy. Comparison leads to jealousy. But they're always either comparing themselves or being compared. And even when they find contentment in their own place, somebody else compares them to somebody, right? When you're young and you're single woman, everyone's asking, when are you getting married, right? Because you can't just be a happy single woman, right? And then as soon as you get married, right, what do they ask you? Yeah, you're right. Because you can't just enjoy life for a few years without kids, right? And then maybe you don't want to have kids, or maybe you just, you know, you're not able to have kids or whatever. So then everyone's kind of looking at you like, what's wrong with you, right? Right? They are. You're thinking it if they're not, right? And then you have kids, and some of you can't stop having kids, right? And so I got a friend, college graduated state, one of my closest friends in college. He's got 8 kids. Right? So that's the wrong way to respond, Chris, okay? See, you just did exactly what I'm talking about. just did exactly. You proved my... So no kids is too little, right? Or one. What's wrong with you? You don't want one kid? You can't handle more, right? Eight kids, you're a freak, right? I see this with five. I when I tell people I got five kids, they look at me like, you're a freak. And then they say, well, two were adopted. And then I go like get the admirable. Oh, that's admirable, you know? I go from freak to hero just by saying I got two. It's okay to outsource two of them, right? It's never, you're never okay, right? It is hard to just be okay in life, is it not? To just be rest in who you are and where you're at in life. It's hard for all of us, but particularly women and moms feel this pressure that things have to be perfect. They're trying to make things perfect for everybody else, and then as soon as they get things perfect in life, they find somebody else or get compared to somebody else that's a little bit more perfect, and you feel this pressure to become like that person or thing. So today, I want you to pray for your moms that they would just rest in who God made them to be. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, and when the writer of Hebrews is going through this whole book, and he's writing about how Jesus is better, he's writing to Jewish people who have become Christians, or he's trying to convince to become Christians, and they're trusting in the law, they're trusting in their hero Moses, they're trusting in the priestly way to God that they have, and the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, those were all good things, but Jesus is a better thing. And he actually brings up the Sabbath, and he says, the Sabbath was good, like the Sabbath was a good thing that God gave us, but God gives us a better rest in Jesus Christ. Like one day a week, that's nice. That's a good law to have because we push ourselves and push ourselves, and that's a good, but then the writer goes on to basically describe, he said, there's a rest that we have in Jesus that goes beyond just a physical rest. When you enter into a relationship with Jesus, you have a peace and an identity that's not available to people outside of Jesus Christ. Rest in that today. And for those of you moms out there, I'm telling you, I know moms on every age and stage of life. And it's not just 22-year-old moms who don't have, or 22-year-old women who don't have kids who are feeling comparison. It is, I'm telling you, 65-year-olds, 70-year-olds who have daughter-in-laws and they're vacationing with their parents and this and that and all that stuff. And there's this constant comparison and constant restlessness that Satan attacks us with. Pray today that your mom or the moms in your life that can just enjoy the season of life that God has given them, all right? Now, we can help with this, all right? Don't just pray for them, but I want you to pray for the women in your life, moms, wife, aunts, whoever you have that special relationship with that you care about, that you would help, that you would encourage them today with their identity, that you would encourage them today and give them an ear with transitions. When somebody's going through a transition, I think one of the best things you can do is just listen and just take it in. Just let them know you acknowledge they're going through a season of change, and you asking, hey, what's that like? Gives them a chance to vent. It's therapy without them even realizing it. And for those who are wrestling with contempt, maybe today you acknowledge, you know, put back in their court through a card or a message, say, hey, you know, think about all that God has given you in life. Yeah, there's some tough times. Yeah, there's, you know, that we're lacking this or we're winning that or whatever. But look what God has given you in life and where you're at in life. And it's really, I mean, for most of us, we're in a great, great place if we focus on the God's blessings in our life. And so to the moms out there today, look, you're a daughter of God first and foremost. All right, you're not a center pointer first and foremost. You're not a wife first and foremost. You're not even a mother first and foremost. For all of you women out there today, you are a daughter of God today. And He loves you more than any earthly father has ever loved their own daughters. And I can say, I got two of them, and I would do anything for my daughters. And if I have that heart, a very tainted, sinful heart for my daughters, can you imagine how much more your Heavenly Father loves you today? If you're single here today, it's not because that you've angered God and He hates you and you've been a wicked daughter and you're gonna pay, He's gonna make you pay for the years of rebellion and you're gonna be single for a certain. That's not why. God is okay with where you're at today. I believe He wants you to be. He's okay with your identity today. Whether you have a bunch of check marks on your box of identity or it's all blank and you're kind of just floating in life, God sees exactly who you are today. Some of you in transitions here today. And God wants to be with you. God wants to go. He knows you're not the first female to ever go through these transitions, and he doesn't want to leave you alone in it. And it's not, don't feel guilty through these transitions that you're feeling a certain way. God wants to be a helpful father guiding you through life through these transitions. So don't go through these transitions alone. We're going to have communion here today. And before, I would encourage all of you as we take communion here today, we normally when we think of communion, we think of it as a very high religious act, right? Like we got to like, you know, kind of like Seinfeld in the soup Nazi, you know, like you got to approach the table the right way, you know, say the right, whatever, you know. Today as you approach the communion table, I want you to talk to God like he is your heavenly father. Like you are his daughter. For those of you guys today, why don't you pray for your wife like she's a daughter of God rather than your wife? For those of you who are sons today or daughters today and your mom is who you're thinking about today, why don't you pray for them before you take communion today and honor them that way. And remember first and foremost that every female on this earth, before they're anything, do you know why we, you know, like we don't, we do get into all the topics of humanity and sexuality and all that stuff. Do you know why we just need to be better towards each other? It's because we are God's children first and foremost. Man, when you think about every woman on this earth being a daughter of God, man, sexual, all the sexual things our world is dealing with, they find their place or should find their place when you remember that woman is a daughter of God first and foremost. When you think about women being a daughter of God, all the jealousy and all the selfishness we have, all the comparison and competition we have towards each other, man, it really finds its place when we remember whose identity we are first and foremost. Okay, would you stand? Our band is going to come play. I don't know why we're losing communion here today, but we're going to sing. And I think we're going to have communion here today. And so when you see it brought back here, oh, okay, I think we're putting the bread in there. So when that is ready, I'm going to pray over communion. We'll start singing. And then we have a couple closing announcements with all that stuff as well. Father God, today we come before you, and we thank you so much for your body and your blood. God, there are girls in India today who are 8 years old, 12 years old, and being raised in brothels and being sold. God, that breaks my heart. God, I can't imagine what it does to yours. God, there are girls today in our own community who are being abused or abandoned by the men in their life, and their view of men is the reality of men, Father, is because of that, and it's damaged. Their view of you is damaged because of that, God. And with that comes their own identity and their own contentment and their own walk with you, God, so tainted in this life. And God, you don't want anybody to live in that place. So God, we believe the answer to that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father, for those in this church family who have experienced that, who have come through years of hurt and abandonment and abuse by people or they felt that you did that to them, Father, help that healing to take place. Help them to see you as a heavenly Father, that you were right with them through it all, Father. That you, while you allow humans to make choices, there are plenty of decisions, millions of decisions a day that are made that you don't desire. And you know it's bringing hurt and pain to this world, but you want to be the healer of that today, God. So God, today, would we honor those women in this world for more than just women who can do things for us, that we don't just look out for the healing in their life just so they can get up and make us a meal like Peter did. God, that we honor and serve the women in our life, the women in this church as our sisters, the women in the moms in our life, the sister, the bio sisters we have, Father, that we see them as daughters of you before they're anything else, God. Help us first and foremost to have the right identity in mind. Help us as we go through transitions in life. Help us as we wrestle with restlessness and contentment, Father. Help us to be at peace with who you've made us to be and that we're yours and yours alone first and foremost, and we always will be. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're ready, feel welcome to receive communion on either side of the aisle.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you.
All right, you may be seated. Before we take the offering and have some announcements, actually, why don't you take the offering first, and I have some things I want to go through, and then we have a couple of the closing announcements. So let me pray over the offering. I want to thank all those who are giving. We're in a season of transition, and what I want to let you know is the more stability we have through transition, the better it is to be able to go forward, because we know what we can count on. We know what actuals are and all that good stuff. So I just want to encourage you, for those of you who are going through this with transition with us, your giving, your generosity to the future of this church is probably more important now than it's ever been. And so we don't take that for granted. We don't take it lightly, and we're thankful for any of those who choose to give to God's kingdom through this church family. So let me pray for the offering. We can give through the buckets. If you're a guest here today, you can put your connection card in the buckets or in the back table there. Or you can give online at centerpointchurch.cc. Go give to the Kent Island Church if you wanted to go here. But God doesn't care how you give or what method of currency you exchange. He does look at our heart. He asks us to be cheerful and generous with our giving. Father God, thank you for your goodness into this church family. God, 10 years ago, Father, as we talked, I talked about 5 loaves and 2 fish. Father, you have multiplied that. And I didn't even believe that message as I was preaching it, Father. You know how depressed I was that day that out of 25 people that were part of that group, only 5 adults showed up, Father. But you certainly have taken that small effort, Father, and you have multiplied it greatly over the last 10 years, Father. And I believe that you are going to do the same, and you're going to do it through days like today of giving and generosity and togetherness, God, that you will multiply whatever we bring to the table, Father. You will use it for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've, two announcements as far as just the church family is concerned. One is the Radcliffe's mom had a stroke this morning. She was actually here, I believe, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago when we had the baptisms for Maggie's baptism, kind of in a tough season of life to begin with. But let's be praying for the Radcliffes this morning. And then some of you know Jenny Smith, Jenny and Jeff Smith. Jenny was in a car accident on Thursday. She had a 2-year-old girl that she's kind of a nanny to. She had a 2-year-old in the car with her. Car rolled. Both were okay, as okay with it, through that as you could be. No broken bones or anything. 2-year-old just had, Bella is her name, had rug burn from the car seat. And the text I've been getting from Jeff, some of the timing has been confusing. So I'm not sure exactly sure when has happened what. We've been playing phone tag and text tag, but I have kind of tried to be the bridge between pastoring and not, you know, nagging the guy. But apparently either Thursday or Friday, Jenny fell as well after the accident, and to the point where she hurt her neck and she had to be in traction for, I believe, 24 hours, which is where they had to separate the bones, I guess, or stretch things, I don't know. And then she had to have surgery yesterday where she had 2 pins put in her neck. And so she's in shock trauma up in Maryland. We're going to pray for them at the end. But they are fantastic, both families, the Smiths and the Radcliffes, fantastic parts of this church family. So let's do what we can, and I know you guys will, to take care of them. So a few weeks ago, I dropped a big bomb on you about that God was moving us on Jenny and I on in 2020. And at the time, we're kind of knowing that we're in a season of transition, figuring out what's the best way to go forward. And so we asked for responses from you guys in the last 3 weeks, really. They've been coming in. And I can say this, I know Steve talked last week, and the elders are seeing those responses. It is not, there's no lack of clarity for how we should move forward, okay? It is, if you turn a response form, know that whatever you said, pretty much that's what we heard from we had one response form that didn't line up. We think that guy's a wacko, okay? No, just kidding. It was. You couldn't ask for more clarity, which is where my prayer has been. God, give us clarity of just what the, for 10 years, all I've asked God, what's the next right step? What's the next right step? What's the next? And we believe that it is very clear that the next right step is for this church to go from being sharing a senior pastor with me as a senior pastor with here and the Annapolis church to finding our own senior pastor here as soon as possible, frankly. And that's been been the response we've been getting across the board. And so if you haven't shared your response, you got something else, too late, you know. Over the last 10 years, I've had hundreds of people that I've loved and cared about come into my life and leave, or they move out of the area. So I know very well what it's like to have somebody you love, and I know that you guys love me. I know it. So I know, but I also know there's a process of it's like grieving. It's anger, denial, and then when you acceptance and hope. And I'm hoping that we can get to the hope as soon as possible. And you could be angry with me, as soon as possible. But we haven't felt that either. By the way, we felt nothing but hey, what is God doing here? The elders have been talking. What's God doing here? And that's what I actually hope that you guys will look at. When we started this church 2.5 years ago, there were 30 of us, 33 of us, I believe, that met for prayer over at Terrapin Park at the pond over there. Just, God, what do we do? You know, and we said, here's what we do. We looked at each other and said, what can you do? What can you do? And it was Steve's like, I can run the sound. And everybody kind of like took a role. Like, all right, I can do this, I do this. And God has done an amazing thing. I asked Shannon a couple weeks ago, I said, hey, can you just find out, go through the database and tell how many center pointers are there at this church? And how many people are kind of like fringe people, like people who we might see or might not see. And so Shannon's best count is that we have 98, actually I think it changed. I think she moved somebody from one category to the another. I think we're like 103 center pointers that people are like, this is their church. And then we have about 30 others, which is standard, that we might or may not see any given Sunday. That is 25, 30 people larger than the average church in America. And we consider this a plant. That's with a very, very, very part-time senior pastor over the last 2.5 years. So when I see that, I think, good grief, God's got something great brewing here. And beyond that, the 103 people we have are amazing, amazing people. And so my heart went from the last 3 weeks, because remember, I'm part of this process too of what's going on here? Where do we go from here with all this? And so I've kind of gone from the whole thing as well. I've went through like a little angry about with the process and where things were at and everything to acceptance. And frankly, now I'm pumped. I'm excited about the future of this church. I'm excited that there's money. We have $80-some thousand in the bank. We have about $10,000 coming in. We have money for to rent a great space, whether it's here or anywhere else. And we have money to pay a senior pastor. And just another part, just to let you know, behind the scenes, we're still considered a church plant for another 2.5 years. So if we wanted to partner with a church plant organization that would give us money, which we've never done that, then we do have that option. And I know one church plant organization already knows what we're talking about and has already reached out to that as well. 2 weeks ago, I let 4 ministry leaders outside of our church family know, like, hey, it looks like our church might be going in this direction. Just want to put that out there. I sent that Facebook message to them probably 4 guys around 8 a.m. on a Monday morning. By noon, I had 2 resumes from people they knew. So I have no doubt that this is going to be a gold mine for somebody looking to be part of a great church family to lead one. But I want to tell you, here's our 3 things that we're doing over the next few weeks. One is this: we're trying to fill roles and holes in the key areas of our leadership. We have 2 elder couples outside of myself, the Bradfields and the Alawa, or the not the Alawa. Pat's great. I wish Pat was still an elder. The Hadaways. Good Lord, Stephen Shannon. I always forget your names, and I've known you the longest. The Hadaways. We're at least 1 more, possibly 2 more elder couples. We have changed the elder role for this past year. The elders basically functioned as glorified ministry leaders. They oversaw all the different ministries of the church and did a fantastic job with that, but it comes with a very tiresome, very worn-out experience. What we've done is we've taken all that and we've put all that weight of that on Amanda. Yay! You know, that's her job now and mine. And so I've got, basically, frankly, I do have all the authority back. I can make whatever decisions I want over the next few weeks and months. And the elder role is changing to a spiritual oversight and a shepherding oversight. So they're going to try to be there for the needs of the church family, a better version of a deacon and what other churches have, and care and take care of the church family in those regards. Day-to-day operation of the church, Amanda and I are carrying the weight of that. And so that's a key thing, because our elders the last year and a half, those 4 couples probably did more than the average pastor in America does. When you have to run a church, and we have 8 people, and there are 9 people coming from completely different organizations, ways of leading. Pat is a sells heart attack stuff for people who have heart attacks, you know. Mary runs Kent Island, apparently. Denise is a realtor. Dick works in the steel industry in Baltimore. I don't really know what Nathan Bradfield does. Kind of got me a little concerned. But Stephanie's in the middle. You, when you have like that many people that work in that many different organizations, and then we all got different schedules. I can't. I'm useless after 5 p.m. All right. Pat's out of town like 90% of the time. Dick is up at 4 a.m. and in bed by 7 p.m. I mean, it is hard to run to get things. So I'm thrilled that what we did for the last year and a half. Beyond that, let me sell this a little bit better. We had to split a church in a good way. This church was joined with Annapolis financially and structurally. And when they became elders, we kind of looked at things and said, this is not good for either church, both elders for both churches. To split a church health in a healthy way and figure all the finances with that, and their hearts have been nothing. The four elder couples have been nothing but gold and to both churches, to whatever we can do to bless Annapolis, whatever we can do to bless Donnie and Jen, their hearts have been gold. So they have done, I kid you not, they've put more time and effort, and it's just tiring. It's just flat out wears you out. And so I got nothing but thanks to the Trumps, nothing but thanks to the Allewalts, the Hadaways, the Bradfields. They deserve our love and respect and thankfulness that they were at the helm for that season of the church's life. But we are changing that dynamics of how we go forward because we can grow to the next stage. And so part of that is we're filling roles and holes, elders, securing the financial team. Rick Meyer is now the lead over the financial team. He's been on part of the financial team, done a fantastic job this past year, and so he's now the lead of the financial team. We're going to rebrand the church. So you're not going to have me as a senior pastor. It's not going to be center point of this. We're going to rename the church. We're going to come up with the values that fit this church. So over the next month, we're going to meet with our ministry leaders and our elders, and we're going to talk about what this church is. We call it in the church planning world a kingdom impact. This church has different gifts than the Annapolis church does. And while the mission is the same, there's a different skill set here and a different need for this community. For instance, one of the key values for center point Annapolis is embracing diversity. Diversity over in Annapolis is a very different picture than it is over here. And if that's going to be a value over here, which there's nothing wrong with that, then we need to really shape our structure to fit our values. But the reason that was a value over in Annapolis is because 11 years ago when I started visiting Annapolis, I went to the four largest white churches in Annapolis, I went to the two largest black churches in Annapolis, and there was no anything else. There was no other diverse church in Annapolis. And I felt that was one of the reasons God brought me there. We have five elder couples over in Annapolis. Three are Latino, one is African American, and I'm the only white, one is white South African. I'm the only white American elder over in Annapolis, all right? So God has honored that value, but that has been a value over there. But that doesn't mean it has to be a value here. This area needs things, and we want to look at. So we're going to meet with the ministry leaders, the elders, and say, who are we? And pick a name that fits that and the values that fit that before we get the senior pastor, because we don't want him coming in here and changing things. And then we're going to put together a transition team. That starts today. So what that is, it's an ad hoc team where we just want to give anybody that is going to be with this church through this transition, because we know there's people who are like, look, I'm out. And we hate that, but we know that happens. There's others who are kind of like just waiting to see where the balls drop, and I get that. And there's others who are like, I'm in, thick or thin. All right, Nina's on the team, all right? But we want those people who are like, this is my church. I believe God's got a great future for Christianity in this area, and I'm going to be part of it through this church family. And so we want to give you a chance. This isn't a lifelong team. We're going to help with the rebranding and finding the senior pastor are the two main things with the transition team. So if you are interested in being on that team today, write your name on a connection card and put it in the bucket back there. If you want to nominate somebody to be on that team, all we're asking is that there are people who financially give to this church, who are in life groups and are going to be through this. Look, if we get the next picture perfect pastor, right, 33 years old, has 2.5 kids, has a master's of divinity degree, and been a senior pastor for the last 10 years, That's what a perfect pastor looks like on churchstaffing.com, by the way. We find that guy, I'm telling you, it might not be perfect. So we need a people that are praying for that guy and his family and are going to go through the thick and thin with it. Now, we do hope that God will lead us to the perfect next person to lead this church in the next season of life. What am I doing the next two years? I'm going to focus on this in Annapolis. So my role is just going to change. I'm still going to be part of this church for the next 2 years. It's still my baby. It's my second child. I love it a little less than I love my own kids, but I love this church and will do anything for it for the next 2 years and whatever role this church wants for me. This November through January, I plan to be hunting with Pat and him shooting me or whatever, you know. I plan on, you know, being in whatever, trying to get to whatever life groups are going on. This is my church. 20 years from now, this will be my church, okay? But my role in the future of it is going to change, but I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that as a kingdom, our kingdom impact is as great as it's ever been, okay? Some of you look like you want to punch me. Some of you are like, all right, let's do this, all right? Let's get you out next night. Okay, so we'll take that, all right? Let me take a second. I want to pray for the Radcliffes, and then we have just a couple of practical announcements. Yeah, we're getting life groups ready. And if you have anything as far as any of this goes, email Amanda. Amanda's information is in the program. Or you can go to swim therapy with her, like I do, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or Wednesdays. And have church staff meetings there. So I want to pray for the Radcliffes, the Smiths, and I want us to pray right now for the next leader of this church. All right? I want us to pray that if God's doing this with us and preparing us, God's preparing somebody else right now, okay? Could be right in our area. Could be on the other side of the world, all right? And we just got to get them here, all right? But let's be praying that God's hand is all over this. His sovereignty is just, in our mindset, is about his kingdom, his glory being known. And we have that perspective over the next few weeks. Father God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you so much for this amazing church family. And God, you have blessed us way more than we could have ever imagined. 2.5 years ago, I know the 30 of us meeting had no clue what to expect, God. And you actually started bringing people before we even launched, God. The Purringtons showed up before we even started, God. The others, God, you have been so good. This church, the nucleus of it, God, it has a better core than I believe just about any church in America. And so, God, I see that, and I believe that because of that, you have a great, great a kingdom impact that this church is going to have in the Kent Island and Queen Anne's area and around the world, God. But God, we need the right leader, God, for this. God, bring us the person that cares about your bride as much as anybody here does, that values this church family, that is in a season of life where they can give their all to this church family, this community, Father. And the gospel of Jesus Christ goes out in a way where we haven't been able to take it up to this point, God. And that the next season of this church's life is 10 times more impactful than the last 2 years have been, Father. And they've been very impactful, God. So, God, we believe that this church has always been yours. We believe it's your bride that you love, that you died for, that you gave yourself for. And because of that, God, we take this responsibility very seriously. We're not handling this lightly. God, we believe that the greatest thing we can do, Father, is let the truth of Jesus Christ be known to those who are lost in this area. And God, there are so many who are lost in this area. God, there's drug addicts who are on their last hope in life. God, there's millionaires who are as empty as you can possibly imagine. God, there's people whose marriages are falling apart, God, and the answer is a relationship with your son, Jesus Christ, our identity being found in you, Father. And I believe that the future of that is through this church family is as great as ever. God, today we thank you so much for the two Radcliffes, for the Smiths. We pray that you be with Christy today and her mom. Touch her body, heal her, Father. Be with Scott and the kids, God, and just watch over them. Be with Jeff today. Help him be a good husband. Help Jenny, Father, to feel your presence in that hospital room and to feel your healing touch. Father, help her and through this transition in life, Father, that she would just rest in you, that you were there that saved her and Bella on Thursday through that car accident. You're the one that allowed her to fall when she got home, God. So God, we pray that your healing touch would be on her and that you would be present in this, not just through the hospital stay, but just through this season of life and the things that will have to change because of transitions like this, God. So we thank you today so much for the moms that you've given us in this world, God. Some of us, a lot of times, Father, it's easy to say we've been hurt or abused or abandoned by our dads, Father. But most people, Father, can say that our moms were with us through thick and thin, and they weren't perfect. They weren't. None of them got everything right, Father. But it's hard to. I don't know too many moms out there that we can't truly be thankful for what they are and who they are, what they've done. For those who are experiencing maybe their first or this has been one of many Mother's Days without their mothers, just be a comfort to them today. Help them to see you today, Father, and thank you so much for the impact that they were in our lives when they were here. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.